This bill would require the UW system to write policies that make sure students hear viewpoints from both sides of the political spectrum. It would also create penalties for students who disrupt speakers, like suspension or, worse, expulsion. The Campus Free Speech Act is aimed at providing First Amendment protections for conservative voices. Republicans say these voices are not being heard on liberal college campuses. The bill's author, Republican Representative Jesse Kramer, was on this program May 1st, and you can hear his interview at WPR.org. Today we have Representative Therese Berceau from Madison. She's the ranking Democrat on the Assembly Committee on Colleges and Universities. Representative Berceau, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I appreciate being on.
So what is your viewpoint on this bill?
Well, I find it disturbing that the legislature in Wisconsin has decided that it's going to basically establish more or less a gag rule on speech. And this is something that's been handled by the university through decades. And there is a disciplinary code already on campus. But this is indeed a national move on the part of Republican legislatures to establish these free speech councils, and with citing that there are speakers who have been shouted down and not able to speak, but there are no examples of that happening in Wisconsin. There have been speakers who've been disrupted for a while, but they then went on. So this is really not something that is a problem in Wisconsin, and most of the information that we were given was either hearsay or something that happened in another state.
And you say the UW system has plans in place to deal with this when it happens, to deal with these free speech disruptions that these lawmakers are saying are the reason behind this legislation. What do we know about how the system would handle disruptions?
Well, right now, there is a disciplinary code, and I would point out that the bill, so-called free speech bill, has stiffer penalties than the university has for somebody who commits sexual assault or stalking or harassment or hazing. It's more significant penalties than any of those egregious behaviors. But the university has a disciplinary code. If somebody is disruptive to the point of disorderly conduct, there's campus police that can handle it, or City of Madison police. The legislature should not be setting itself up as the policing agent of free speech on campus, which is a place basically where ideas should be colliding and students should be learning from that, and also obviously learning, you know, to respect free speech rights. But I do think this can be handled by the university, and the Wisconsin legislature does not need to set up a gag rule and start policing this.
We're talking right now with Representative Therese Berceau from Madison. She's the ranking Democrat on the Assembly Committee on Colleges and Universities. We're discussing the so-called Campus Free Speech Act. This bill passed the Assembly yesterday, is now headed to the Senate. And, Therese, you know, in April, we learned that the University of California at Berkeley canceled conservative commentator Ann Coulter's speech because of threats of violence. And the school also canceled an event featuring the conservative Milo Yiannopoulos after demonstrators threw rocks and they set fires outside the school union to protest his talk. These are just two recent examples. What is your opinion of those incidents?
Well, I think that they were disturbing, but they didn't happen in Wisconsin. We've handled them. One of the issues that people have with both of those speakers is they're really not going to campuses for scholarly discussions. They are going because they are agent provocateurs, and Ann Coulter charges $20,000 to go and do that. So I'm not excusing it based on what the speakers say, because that shouldn't have happened in California, and clearly they need to answer, deal with how they are going to answer it. But in Wisconsin, if you look at even the comments of some of these speakers who have been here, who were, when there was disruption, at least at the beginning, when the disruptors were asked to leave or to quiet down, that happened. You know, this is something that has been happening on campus for decades. Political times have changed, and this is reflecting that. But, you know, you can go back to the 60s on this campus, and it was, you know, conservatives complaining about liberal speech. So, it, you know, the times changed, but this has been handled on campus, and I don't believe that the university should be setting up, you know, a system that, to me, is going to create more chaos.
We talked with your colleague, Republican State mm-hmm. Representative Jesse Kramer, the author of this bill, shortly after it was introduced. He said the proposal is not in response to any particular event, but about ensuring a, quote, true marketplace of ideas on college campuses. You said before the vote in the College and Universities Committee that the only problem Republicans are trying to solve is an agenda issue for their party. What do you mean by that?
Well, this is happening statewide, as I said earlier, in Republican legislatures. And it is part of a, well, basically, I would say that they are trying to do on campuses what they've done in communities and to our state, which is create polarization on campus. They set up a situation in this bill where any two persons, not even a student, not even students, could make a complaint about a student. So we're talking about the fact that somebody even from the outside, maybe affiliated with some organization, could decide, well, we don't like that particular student protester, and so we're going to complain against that student. And the student is then, after, you know, two complaints, and if there's a third, actually expelled under the bill. But it really is, I think, setting students up against each other. There's been incidents, not in Wisconsin, but there was an incident in California where students have cameras. We all have cameras. Mm. And they start filming these incidents. And then that helps inflame the situation too. But, you know, what are we going to have? Are we going to have people coming to listen to a speaker and the students sorting the situation out and the university campus police? Or is this, you know, automatically going to go to this tribunal that they've set up?
And let's take a call here. John in Milwaukee. Hi, John.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask your guests what possible. How does this gag anybody?
What was the question?
How does
this gag anyone?
Well, because I think there are a number of things. If you know that if you protest, that somebody can complain officially to the university, and you will have to go before the Free Speech Council. And that you could possibly expel. I can understand the argument. Well, maybe you'll think twice and you won't protest. Why do we want to chill free speech? We've had that, the First Amendment, since 1791. It's always, there's no question that it's been contentious, but the bottom line is free speech is free speech. In a recent Monday, a Supreme Court decision basically said that even, you know, hateful and speech that people don't like is protected. It was basically a victory for people who don't like political correctness, maybe, but said, sorry, it might be politically incorrect to you, but that doesn't mean that it should be regulated. Free speech is free speech. That was a decision on Monday regarding an Asian group that calls themselves the Slans. Our courts have protected free speech. We have disciplinary action already on the books. Why have a chilling effect on free speech, especially at a university where students are supposed to be sorting out their own values and how they think about things, and exposure to ideas is, might be rough at times, but
Yeah, I'm going to jump in here. The UW System Board of Regents would have to create a discipline policy under the Campus Free Speech Act that passed the Assembly yesterday. The UW would have to draft hearing procedures and sanctions for any student who interferes with the free expression of others. We're talking with Representative Therese Berceau from Madison, who stays with us. She's the ranking Democrat on the Assembly Committee on Colleges and Universities. Join in the discussion at 800-642-1234. What do you think about free speech on college campuses? What do you think about this bill? 800-642-1234. Critics call it gagging the University of Wisconsin and infringing on academic freedom. How do you feel about the Protect Free Speech on UW System campuses that passed the Assembly yesterday and now heads to the State Senate? Good morning. I'm Kate Archer Kent in for the Joy Cardine Show. Is this measure necessary for all voices to be heard, or do you think it actually quashes free speech? What about the First Amendment? Should a primer be part of freshman orientation? We're discussing 800-642-1234 or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Representative Therese Berceau from Madison is the ranking Democrat on the Assembly Committee on Colleges and Universities. We talked with the author of the bill, Republican State Representative Jesse Kramer, on May 1st, and you can hear that interview at WPR.org. Let's go to the phones right now with Mike in Milwaukee. Hi, Mike.
Hello, how are you doing?
Good, go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to point out that it seems to go against the conservative values of wanting to deregulate and get less government in our system due to it's taking up too much money or taking up too much, it's adding to the bureaucracy. So this seems to really go against, like, a conservative value, which says the government should actually be stepping back and letting organizations like the campus deal with this. So it really seems to me to be hypocritical for a Republican legislature to actually be trying to put their foot in and adding to the bureaucracy and adding more. Obviously, there's going to be more tax dollars that are going to have to be spent on this because of the committees or everything else, not to mention the intimidation, how does it gag somebody? Well, if I'm a student and I'm targeted by some conservative ideology or think tank that is targeting the area due to, I don't know, the next vote, the next election.
And Mike, I'm going to jump in there and let Representative Berceau respond to you. What would you say to Mike and the cost and the issue toward deregulation?
Oh, well, no question. I think it's real interesting. And as I said, it's part of a national agenda. And I personally, and I think my colleagues all agreed. Well, I know my colleagues agreed that this is really about trying to establish get more conservative speakers on campuses, and in this case, you know, setting student against student. And then another thing that Mike talked about was the money involved. Well, I don't think people are realizing that students have a right to counsel. Well, that's if your dad can afford to pay for counsel to represent you.
Yeah, would we see more lawsuits? Is there a litigious influence in this legislation?
Well, definitely we think so. And that's what's ironic, too, because the Republicans are not real big fans of attorneys and litigation. But really, this is, we think, that there was a lot of hearsay brought up about students feeling intimidated on campus because they had conservative views. Well, I came to campus at 18 with conservative views, like, you know, Catholic family from Green Bay. But for my perspective was, and I hope most students feel this way, that you come to the university to challenge yourself, and maybe you will affirm the beliefs that you developed during childhood and in your family and community, or maybe you'll realize that there's a big wide world out there and you think a little differently about some things. So that's part of learning. That's the growth that's supposed to happen on campus.
Well, so I'm going to jump in here so we can get another question from a caller. Mike, thanks for your call. Let's go to Derek in Chicago. Hi, Derek.
Good morning. Thanks for a good program. I'm actually a journalist and reporter. I'm writing for international media. I've got published in over 20 countries. And last February, I had a situation where I was in the process of organizing a journalism panel discussion about the quality of U.S. media and whether the U.S. media is lying to us in context of coverage of international issues as well as domestic issues as well. And the whole thing fell apart due to the UW lack of commitment. They committed to me to have this panel discussion, but about 2 or 3 weeks later, a radio silence and some kind of political interference, it did not happen. So I find really suspicious that UW would be actually espousing itself as an institutional beacon for freedom of speech and what have you. While on the same token, if there's a political interference or there's a subject involved in a matter that it's somewhat inconvenient to the either establishment or someone to be interested in basically propagating their own agenda, this won't happen.
And Derek, are you still pursuing this panel discussion?
Yes, I am. Actually, I'm going to be doing a lecture here in Chicago in the area, and you know, in the near future, in the public libraries about the U.S. media coverage of international issues, as I reported from Iraq and Ukraine. And most likely, I will not bring it to UW because apparently the subject of the U.S. media coverage is somewhat, you know, not comfortable to a lot of people at the School of Journalism at UW.
Representative Berceau, will UW have an image issue with this bill?
Well, I certainly think so. I think we've already heard from university professors. They, you know, they're very concerned that this then becomes something in the classroom. And indeed, the author of the bill said that he thought that it was possible that if something happened in a classroom that a student didn't like, that they could also take that issue to the council. So that's why we consider this chilling and a gag rule. Regarding that panel, I don't know what issues there might have been. That sounds very strange. But I have heard nothing about that, and I don't know if there are logistical issues or timing issues. They may have not had anything to do with free speech. I don't know. The university too will have to think twice about what Republicans are going to think about speakers that come to campus. It's clear that they want more conservative speakers. Our taxpayers should know that they've also allocated $500,000 of taxpayer money for speakers each year. Now, Ann Coulter charges $20,000. So how many speakers are we going to have? This money comes from the Tommy Thompson Institute that was just established, but it was supposed to be, the plan at the campus was that it was supposed to be privately funded, and Speaker Robin Voss decided that if he put it in our state budget and used taxpayer money, he could allocate some of the money to a speaker program throughout the system. So what speakers do you expect to be invited with that? So this is more choreographing conservative speech as opposed to free speech on campus and letting students, faculty deal with the issues and discuss them, and campus disciplinary policies and campus police and city police deal with the policing issues if something gets out of hand.
Our next guest is saying he's uncomfortable with the legislature getting involved in free speech issues on college campuses, and he'd rather the schools handle these matters on their own. Do you agree with him, or do you see some role for the legislature here?
Well, I don't think there's any problem with the legislature establishing or having a resolution saying we support free speech. We want the university to work a little bit harder to make sure all speech is protected, or something along the lines of that. Colorado did that. This is much more proscriptive, saying, you know, any person, any two persons can complain, and suddenly a student is before this tribunal. Tell me that this doesn't have a chilling effect on free speech on campus.
And we're going to leave it right there. Representative Berceau, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Therese Berceau is a Democratic state representative from Madison and the ranking Democrat on the Assembly Committee on Colleges and Universities. We spoke with the author of the bill, Republican State Representative Jesse Kramer, on May 1st, and you can find his interview at WPR.org. We're discussing the merits of the UW Free Speech Bill and having a wider discussion about how First Amendment rights factor into this legislation. The Campus Free Speech Act passed the Assembly yesterday. Donald Downs joins us now. He is an emeritus professor of political science and an affiliate professor of law and journalism at UW-Madison. He also co-founded the UW's Center for the Study of Liberal Democracy. His areas of expertise include freedom of speech, academic freedom, political thought, and campus politics. Donald, welcome to the program.
Yeah, good morning.
Well, you were quoted in the Journal Sentinel saying you're uncomfortable with lawmakers getting involved in free speech issues on campus, that schools should deal with them on their own. What makes you so uneasy?
Well, academic freedom partly entails institutional autonomy, and this is the first time that the legislature has sort of dictated to us how we should punish students, even though they, you know, to their credit, they listened to concerns and modified the proposal in that respect. But I think UW-Madison has been working pretty hard in the last year to get the free speech question right. You know, I've been working with some people behind the scenes, and they've been working on their own. So I think we can do it on our own, which would be preferable. Now, that said, I applaud the legislature for taking up this issue and for being concerned about this issue, because it is a nationwide problem with free speech on campus. So really, it's more of a question of what kind of means are best to get to a good end.
And so lawmakers are getting involved here. We're seeing this issue, speakers on college campuses that are being disrupted by students,
right,
and that something, as lawmakers say, needs to be done about it. How far can dissenters go in showing their disapproval of a speaker before it violates free speech?
Well, this is the legislation, as it was originally drafted, wasn't very clear on that. And due to input that they got from, you know, people like me and several others, they modified it to a position that is very consistent with First Amendment law. The Supreme Court standard is that when something substantially and materially disrupts a lawful event, that could be like a speaker, it could be holding a class or anything like that, then it crosses a line. So you have a right to protest. You have a right to counter-protest. You bring in a speaker, people have a right to protest that speaker, but they may not materially and substantially disrupt that event. And what constitutes material and substantial disruption is really a judgment call. But it's more than just simply, you know, sticking your tongue out at the person or, you know, holding up a protest sign, maybe shouting something. But if you shout in a sustained way, and so the person is really not able to conduct the speech in a sufficient manner, then you've materially disrupted that person. So that's the line right there.
And how does the UW system currently deal with the, quote, heckler's veto, which is
right,
how some people refer to,
yeah,
disruptive protests?
Yeah, well, to my knowledge, it's campus by campus. I don't think that there's a UW system rule on that. If I'm mistaken, a caller might be able to correct us, but I know Madison has its own rule, which is very similar to what I just stated.
Well, we do have full phone lines. Let's now go to Sarah in Whitewater. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, thank you. I guess when you're talking about academic freedom and freedom of speech, I would think that
Oh, are you with us, Sarah? Oh, she must have just dropped, Sarah.
Oh, so we don't know what she thinks.
We don't. Oh, there, Sarah, you're back with us.
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I guess when you're talking about academic freedom and freedom of speech, I would think that universities, especially student groups who are oftentimes responsible for bringing speakers in, have the freedom to not bring in conservative speakers. So it seems as though if the conservative part of the Republican Party is trying to get more conservative speakers in, that perhaps, you know, gagging students afterwards isn't the way to go.
Well, certainly, you know, part of the right of free speech is the right not to speak and not to bring speakers in. So no one can dictate if the university said group X must bring in speaker Y, that would be a violation of their free speech rights and their free association rights. No question about that. The question is whether or not, you know, that doesn't mean you have a right to disrupt a speaker that someone else brings in. When you disrupt a speaker, you're disrupting the right of the speaker, you're disrupting the right of the group that brought that person in, you're disrupting the rights of listeners to hear that person, which many people think is the most important aspect of the First Amendment. You're disrupting the right of the institution to be an open university for free speech, and you're sort of sticking the middle finger at the U.S. Constitution when you do that. So the speaker's right. No one can be compelled to bring a speaker in. That would be compelled speech, which violates free speech rights. But that doesn't mean you have the right then to shut down a speaker that someone else brings in.
How much of a problem do UW campuses have with students disrupting free speech? Is there a history?
Well, you know, my knowledge is more about Madison, you know, we're the flagship.
Mm-hmm.
There have been some incidents at other schools around the UW system. But I know, like, up at UW-Stout, there was a ridiculous incident where a professor was even charged with making a criminal threat, or potentially charged with a threat, just for having a poster of some very popular comic figure on his door. And so Stout, with Timothy Scheel, who's a philosophy professor up there and a really good guy, he's written on free speech, and he's a free speech advocate, he started a First Amendment group up there. And now they received some funding, outside funding, to do their thing. So that was a constructive response. And UW-Madison has sort of a history. You know, back in the 60s, Ted Kennedy was sort of shut down back in the Cow Pavilion. I know that Jean Kirkpatrick, back in 1982, she was Ronald Reagan's secretary to the United Nations. She was invited to give a speech because of anti-Reagan feeling on campus. There was going to be a shout down, and she eventually did not come. So that was sort of the start of a kind of the disinvitation movement, which is another aspect of what we're talking about. That some, you know, the last few years, hundreds of speakers have been disinvited because of threats about heckler's vetoes, which is also a very bad thing. And then Ben Shapiro came here to Madison a few months ago, and he was able to give his speech, but a group took the stage for 7 minutes. And, you know, some people say, well, that's not really a disruption. Well, the fact is that when you have an event, it's your stage. It's nobody else's stage. And if someone forcibly goes up on the stage and takes over the stage to, you know, give their thing, rather than simply protesting in a legitimate way or, you know, going to the Q&A and going after an event, which is usually always provided, they've literally taken over someone else's stage, which I would say is certainly a disruption.
The state Senate will now take up a bill to require UW campuses to enforce free speech protections. The so-called Campus Free Speech Act, authored by Republican Representative Jesse Kramer, passed the Assembly yesterday. We spoke to him on this program May 1st. And Donald Downs is with us right now. He's a retired professor of political science and co-founder of the UW Center for the Study of Liberal Democracy. You can join in this conversation, 800-642-1234. What do you think about free speech on college campuses? First Amendment protections for conservative voices. Join in, 800-642-1234. We're back after this news. This bill would crack down on hecklers. UW students or anyone affiliated with UW institutions who disrupt speeches and demonstrations could be expelled And campuses would have to remain neutral on controversial issues under this legislation that is now before the state Senate. It passed the assembly yesterday. Good morning. I'm Kate Archer-Kent in for the Joy Cardine Show. We spoke to the author of this bill, Republican Representative Jesse Kramer, on May 1st. And earlier this hour, we spoke with Representative Therese Berceau. How do you feel about this bill? 800-642-1234. Donald Downs stays with us discussing First Amendment implications. He's a retired professor of political science and an affiliate professor of law and journalism here at UW-Madison. He's also co-founder of the UW's Center for the Study of Liberal Democracy. Donald, what do you make of freshman orientation taking up the First Amendment and discussing it and dissecting it?
Well, I think it's a great idea. This is not something that the legislature has pushed itself. It was originated by officials over in the Dean of Students office and in the administration. I think it is important because a university has a distinctive mission as part of its social contract with society, and that is to pursue the truth, to produce knowledge, and to teach in a conscientious way, in a professional way. And free speech and academic freedom are absolutely indispensable to that primary mission. So in other words, free speech is linked to our primary mission as an institution. Everything else is secondary. And so therefore, especially given the problems that have arisen around the country with free speech on campus, I think it's very important to prime freshmen and introduce them to the basic ideas of free speech. And actually, I wrote a primer for the Dean of Students office that they have been using for this purpose, and they've made some changes themselves with it. But so I think it's a good idea. And it's just simply, it's not indoctrinating. It presents students with the basic principles and ideas behind free speech so that they'll be familiar with them so they can deal with these issues in a more responsible manner.
Let's go to Steve now in Sun Prairie. Hi, Steve.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I think most conservatives that I've talked to on campus feel very marginalized. I mean, you look at studies about, you know, the college professors in terms of how the percentage get a liberal versus conservative, and it's about 90-10. Many conservatives feel that they can't really write papers that have a conservative slant without feel that their grades are going to be downgraded. So while this legislation might not be perfect, what would the guests recommend to make sure that conservative voices are not marginalized on campus?
Yeah, the caller is right. Depends again on the department or the school, but especially in humanities and social sciences, there's a definite kind of tilt. Now, that doesn't mean that there has to be prejudice, because if you do your job right, it shouldn't matter, okay? But it is a fact that there is that kind of misrepresentation or underrepresentation, and also that a lot of students do feel chilled in class. I've been told that by several students that given orientations and the climate for diversity and all those other kinds of things, that students feel that if they say something that goes against the grain, that they're going to be ostracized, and sometimes they get bullied on social media. Social media is a big part of this problem. Now, it's not just conservatives. It's also students that are middle of the road or maybe not sufficiently progressive according to outspoken activists. So it doesn't just affect conservatives. Free speech affects everybody. So I think it really is a problem. You don't want to deal with it in a heavy-handed way that could become its own form of kind of indoctrination. You want to deal with it in a way that is open to all different positions, and I think education is the best way to do it. Keep the kind of issues that we're talking about on the show and that the caller takes seriously, and talk about them. And the administration at Madison has done a pretty good job with this so far because they understand the problem. Make it clear that, yeah, there are views that are underrepresented on campus because most students tend to be more on the left and most faculty members do too. And so we need to keep that concern alive and be aware of it so we can do our jobs more responsibly. So a lot of it is education and how we deal with the question.
Well, I asked Representative Berceau this earlier. Would this bill promote lawsuits? Would this bill have implications that would go right to court?
Well, the bill has to do with disruptions of speakers, okay? It doesn't talk about what happens in the classroom. And in some ways, if you look at it just how it's written, it's not a conservative bill. It is a neutral bill because who knows, 10 years from now, The country's moving politically into a more conservative direction, at least overall. The country as a whole is sort of right of center a bit. Maybe the left down the line is going to be suppressed by disruptions. So maybe the left has something to gain here as well, because your axe might be gored today. It may not be gored today, but it might be gored 10 years from now, 5 years from now, maybe next year. So, and also the bill really is only addressed to disruptions of speakers. It doesn't talk about what goes on in the classroom. It doesn't provide a legal hook for a student to sue because his or her view in the classroom hasn't been respected. So I don't think that would be a problem.
Could speakers sue?
Again, America's a litigious society, right? And we have lawyers looking for cases all the time, so maybe that would be a problem. I hope it's not.
Let's go now to Bernie in Elkhorn. Hi, Bernie.
Hi, good morning. The guest is making sense from my perspective. I have a question and a comment. My question is, would this affect people's ability to, say, protest outside the hall where someone is speaking? And my comment, going back to a caller that spoke with Representative or Senator Brousseau, I'm not sure what her status is, he was talking about being a journalist and wanting to talk about Iraq and Ukraine and how UW would not let him speak. And I'm suspecting that with respect to Ukraine, he probably wanted to say that there was a U.S.-backed coup that put their current government in and Russia was not an aggressor. I think there's a tremendous censorship of ideas when it comes to criticizing U.S. foreign policy, and this is Democrats and Republicans.
Well, Bernie, thanks so much. Let's tackle the first part of Bernie. Yeah.
Well, yeah, the bill actually talks about how every part of the campus, depending on, you know, how you look at it, is a public forum. So, that, in other words, you have a right to engage in free speech everywhere on campus, which is consistent with a famous Supreme Court case on high school student speech where the court says, maybe a Tinker case where a student got suspended for wearing a black armband in class to protest the Vietnam War. And saying that she should not have been suspended, the Supreme Court said, in high school, you have speech should take place everywhere, not just in the classroom. It takes place in the cafeteria, in the hallways, et cetera. And this bill does say something like that. But it also says that, you know, given where you are, your speech right might be appropriately modified by time, place, and manner. So you have a right to be loud out there on the campus mall, right? That's a public forum, clear public forum. You have a right to protest in the hallway, but you may not disrupt the classes. And since classes are going on, your right of free speech would not be as extensive there, but you would still have it there. So I don't think that the bill would disallow a valid protest outside a classroom, but it would have to be non-disruptive, which would mean it would have to be a lot quieter than it would be out in the public forum in the campus mall.
Bernie, thank you so much for calling in. Appreciate it. Let's now go to Elizabeth, who has a question. Elizabeth in Chippewa Falls. Go ahead.
Hi. I was just calling to ask the speaker whether or not they thought that it was dangerous that organizations like the Koch Foundation or the Koch Brothers and the Bradley Foundation, particularly out of Wisconsin, are really funding these pushes. And I expect the speaker would say that, the work or that the legislature is doing or that campuses will do around this issue could remain independent. But with extreme ideologues like the Bradley Foundation and the Koch Foundation, I'm sure they have certain incentives to restrict free speech rights of administrators or students on what are perceived to be liberal campuses.
Yeah, well, that's certainly a valid question. And what I know, the Bradley Foundation, actually, the center that I started, we had some funding from Bradley. And there were no strings attached whatsoever. And our university would not allow that, for strings to be attached. And so the money we got from Bradley was not a whole lot of money, but it was somewhat substantial, about $60,000, $80,000 a year, which for a major center is a modest amount these days. But we brought in speakers from across the spectrum, and had Bradley said to me that you must do X, Y, or Z, we would not have taken the money. And if that had been known, the university would not have allowed us to take that money. So Bradley's been very good about that. But all sorts of outside sources fund activities at universities. We get a tremendous amount of outside funding. The University of Wisconsin-Madison, for 20 straight years, has been among in the top 10 every single year for federal funding for various projects and research projects. And, of course, different foundations, and, you know, the Soros Foundation, as I'm sure, which is a left-wing foundation, funds certain things on campus. The thing is that the funding has to be without strings, and that the university has to be have certain standards that everyone must abide by when they spend that money. So the university controls, or the people the university delegates, such as the heads of centers, they're the ones that decide what to do, not these outside funders. And given the fact that the previous caller said campuses do tend to be very one-sided in terms of ideology, in my view, outside funding from conservative sources actually just helps to provide more diversity of ideas on campus, which is a good thing. But they must do so without attaching strings. And I know that Bradley does not attach strings. Koch, I don't think, does either.
Well, Elizabeth, thank you for calling in with that question. And as we wrap up here, Donald Downs, very quickly, what do you think is going to happen on UW campuses should this bill become law?
Well, that's really that's a $64,000 question. I think what it's going to do is just going to it will compel administrations to have to take this issue more seriously, especially because part of the bill has to do with setting up committees on campuses, which we haven't talked about. So certainly the issue would have to be taken more seriously. And I just hope that it's not abused. It's not a conservative, you know, protection act. It's meant to protect all speech. And it's just what happens that conservatives tend to be the ones whose speech is being censored more on campus or, you know, heckler vetoed than progressive speech. But in principle, it would protect everyone. If it's subject to, you know, I just hope that it's not the precursor of the legislature getting more or even more heavy-handed with the university. You know, we have things going on now for 2 years between us and the legislature. But my final comment would be, we need to do our job right. In some ways, we have brought outside intervention onto ourselves. I'm speaking about higher education in general, not UW-Madison, because we haven't been protecting speech. And if we don't protect it, somebody's going to do it. And
we're going to leave it. You have to leave it right there. Thank you so much for joining us. Donald Downs is a retired professor of political science and affiliate professor of law and journalism at UW-Madison, also co-founder of the UW Center for the Study of Liberal Democracy. Earlier, we talked with Democratic State Representative Therese Berceau. This hour was produced by Bill Martins and Nyasia Ellison. Michelle Johnson is our executive producer. I'm Kate Archer-Kent in for the Joy Cardine Show, and you are listening to the Ideas Network.